Okay. What I'm looking for tonight, to begin, is something that people think is sin that is not, or some people who think it is not sin, and it is. In Pittsburgh, I had a man who came in every Sunday after the services. He was a smoker and was trying to quit. And somebody told him if he smokes a cigarette, that was sin, and that he had to repent of it. So he would come every Sunday, and the people got so tired of him coming up that the elders came to me and said, do something about him. So we did something about him. But it was one of those things, not mentioned as a sin in the Bible, but he thought it was. Doesn't work. That's a good one.
Learn about some pistachio ice cream, and we usually eat it together. But then, in my mind, I kind of sneak back and get some without it, and I feel guilty sometimes that I'm not. I'm kind of taking a portion that she should get. Now, you're going to tell me that's not a sin, right?
No, I heard her saying, I'll get even, so I know. I'll buy a lottery tickets. There's a good one. Okay, what else? Paul.
May I read Romans 14, 22 and 23?
Sure.
So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's eating not from faith. Everything that does not come from faith is sin.
Okay, so somebody who does something without faith. I didn't have that one on my list. Okay, good.
Well, the definition, I think James, I'm not sure, but him to know the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him and his sin.
Okay, that's James, as he was summoned chapter 4, confessing faults. Very good. Is this hard?
So the ultimate sin is the rejection of God.
The rejection of God.
And to give up your faith, you'll be a rejection of God.
We went across Orlando to West Orlando last week. Now, either my car's speedometer is broke, or those people who passed me were going a lot more than the speed posted. I mean, they just leave me in the dust. And I've got a little car, so if it's big and they leave me in the dust, you can change 3 lanes without turning the wheel. Let's get one more.
I go to Melbourne, it's the same way.
One more, or I'm going to call on Sue, and she'll get even.
Sometimes it's not what's being done, it's who's doing it. Because if I'm doing it, it's okay. know, I went a little bit fast, but it was the traffic, and that's okay. But if somebody passes me going pretty fast, they're not doing what they should be doing.
Right.
It's in the eye of the beholder sometimes.
Those who go faster than I do, they're idiots. And if they drive slower than I do, they're morons. But I drive the perfect speed.
Mike, but years ago, it's the same thing today, but years ago, when it was 55 miles an hour, you remember?
Oh yeah, Jimmy Carter.
To get any state government aid, you gotta go 55 miles an hour, or they weren't gonna give you a dime.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't change the law, so all they did is let you go as fast as you want, and just look the other way, and that's how they got around it. They didn't pinch you for it. If you went 65, they didn't care. But they posted 55 to get their money. It was money that worked. And today it does the same thing. You know, in fact, they want to go up higher than 70. You think 70's enough? It's not. They want to go 75. They want to go 80. So what they do to keep the markers, they'll let you go 10 miles over the limit. They're going to look the other way. They won't say nothing. You'll see them on the side of the road. They're looking, they're doing their bookwork.
I got a ticket, so remember this, he was in the car. It was your car that I was driving, in fact, for going 39 in a 35 mile an hour zone. And I got a ticket. I was going 39, but I went through this, I thought there was a cushion. He says, no, sir, there's not a cushion in the law. And I said, I thought there was some allowances for somebody who was aged. They said, no, sir, you're not near enough, old enough to get those. But I tried. But it, okay. When it comes to God, all the way from the beginning, God sits back and says, y'all got a choice. There are two ways, two paths, two roads. And you get to choose which one you want to go on. Now, the first road, or I call it the first road, it's filled with all kinds of obstacles and things that could hurt. Road two is God's road. And it's got all sorts of blessings and things that move you along. And he said, you got the choice of what you do. Okay? That's important that we take down, because if we say, I'm going to use Big William. He's Little William, you're Big William. If I don't say he's a sinner, I better have some backup, because he is much bigger than me. You wouldn't pound me too hard, would you? So how do we do it? You all remember this? Yeah, there are a couple of you say you can't get it out of your mind no matter how hard you try. This is just what makes us us. It's not original with me. It's original with some other people. But that's this one. Does anybody know what the body is? I'll show you a little Greek here real fast. Sarx. S-A-R-X. What's it mean? Flesh? It depends on what version you read. If you read the King James, it's going to say flesh. If you read the English Standard Version, you're going to get flesh. If you read the New American Standard, you're going to get flesh. All those that I've mentioned are known as word-for-word translations. There are two basic kinds. The first, every word that's there just gets there, whether you understand it or not, if that's the word you're going to get, and they're not going to break it down for you.
That's why you get words like propitiation. It's a big word. Nobody understands it, but that's a word-for-word translation. Then there are what is called phrase by phrase. And this one should be kind of familiar with it. What would a phrase by phrase translation say this was the body? The sinful nature. Now, y'all got bodies? Isn't that deep? It rained today. What comes with the body? I mean, y'all got good-looking bodies. I don't want to put anybody down. But what comes with it?
Needs.
Good. Pain.
Desire
stuff? Okay. As I said, he's bigger than me and beat me up, so.
Senses.
The five senses. Very good. Also, things like the sexual urges we have. If you've been taught that sex is wrong, you've got the wrong teacher. Yeah, you need to go home and read the Song of Solomon, because he will tell you about desires. What else goes with the body?
Curiosity.
Sure does. The fact that you have this body says that you're going to have some needs. Now, what if I can do it right. That was the road we talked about, God's road. I can fulfill all those desires the right way, or I can choose the other way. So the reason we sin is we're trying to fulfill our needs, our wants, and our desires the wrong way. Okay. Just sort of summing up the sins that came from the body. The first group is self-gratification. We're going to back up and get these, so you don't have to worry about it. But each one of us has a need for self-gratification. If you never get an uptime and you're always in a downtime, then there are problems. After the self-gratification comes self-preservation. What is that?
Keeping yourself alive.
Yes.
Protecting.
Okay, good. And the third one, anybody see Finding Private Ryan? They were getting a soldier in the middle of World War II because there was not a son to carry on his name. So in World War II, they went out and got people to carry on names. So far, so good. Self-gratification, whenever you look at it, we do things that make us feel good, that we have fun at. And sometimes we have fun at the wrong things.
Or at somebody else's expense.
Yes, or at somebody else's expense. But we're looking for something that comforts us. We're looking for something that thrills us. We're looking for something that makes our life catch all the gusto, because you only go around once. That's not true, but that's the philosophy we have. You only live once. You do everything you want to do. Nobody can tell you it's wrong. So what kind of sins would that naturally bring out?
Envy that leads to theft.
Theft? Good.
Drunkenness.
Substance abuse. They're all falling right here. You stroke your hair. Does that mean you wanted to say something? No. Okay. Lying could fall here.
Various
immoralities. Because this was so hard, I decided what I would come up and give you one of those helps. This is from Galatians chapter 5. And beginning in verse 19, would somebody like to read 19 down through 21? Okay, that's the list of stuff that goes under self-gratification. Now, his argument is, if you live by the Spirit, you can't live that way. Because the Spirit fights those things that will make you unspiritual. Okay. Oh, this is the message. I just sort of like what it talked about. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzy and joyless, grab for happiness, trinkets, magic show religion, paranoid, lovelessness, cutthroat competitions, all-consuming, never satisfied. He always has his wants. He's got a bad temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes, divided lives, small-minded, lopsided pursuits. A vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This is just saying, man, when you start with that self-gratification part of what makes you you, as having a body, there are a lot of things, if we're going down the wrong road, we'll attach to. Well, then, if that's the case, what's the second one that we said matters? Self-preservation. Who looks like he might be from China? William. Yep, he's going to be our guy from the China.
I probably have a little bit of Chinese.
Okay, you do, yes. Okay. He's got a little bit of Chinese in him. Your wife has a child. And it's a girl. What do you do with the girl?
Well, if I'm from China, I have no need for a daughter.
You get to have one child. Now they got it up to two, but you only had one child. And so out comes the daughter, and you kill her. Why? You wouldn't do that? What if they cried loud? What if they cried real loud? That's all right. You can take that. Why do they do that? Yeah, to carry on the name, to carry on the bloodline.
Sometimes they hide them.
Yes, they do. And some of them, they got them to the outside world through back channels. But what else are you willing to do to perpetuate your name? He did take the handmaiden. Oh, yes. And then she ran around the camp, so, yes. Have you ever gone someplace where you see names engraved? Whether it's a state rock, a state cave or rock quarry? We've been going on vacation about every third year with Michelle and Michael. They're the educated part of the family. And they take us to places, but you be a mayor, people take paint and paint their name. Why do they do that? You're going to know they were there. And it's an attempt to live on.
You're talking about this is a historical site?
Yes.
And they paint the name?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's a good example. I hadn't thought of that one either. It only happens with guys. My parents had a hard time conceiving. When they conceived me, my dad didn't believe it was possible. But the doctor told him I was a girl. And of course, when I was born, it was late at night, and surprise! All those things that you use for the girl, you can't use for the guy. But it was important to him that it be a man child. Sue's grandfather was this way. When we had Michelle, he was really hoping for a boy. That self-preservation, how could it lead to sin? Taking life is a sin, okay?
Taking other wives.
That's hard for me, that people say, kings of Israel had so many wives. I've got one and I'm scared of her. So you have all these others. This can lead into any way that you think you can leave your name behind. If you're rich, you decided, well, let's see, buy an auditorium from whatever school I graduated from. If you're poor, well, let's put something up in honor of. You want to go on. So you get things named after you and all that. And 10 years later, they rename it after somebody else. But we will do anything to keep it. Now the biggie. Don't go there yet. The biggie is the need for... I need longer arms. Self-perpetuation. What does self-perpetuation mean?
I was just going to say, I don't know if this applies. The Lord made a provision because there was a situation that occurred about passing on the lands from one generation to the next. And this one generation, there were only girls.
Uh-huh.
And so the Lord said, we'll make an exception here so that it'll still work. That you can still keep the land in the family. And that was an unusual circumstance.
Very unusual. Very unusual. Guys always got the good stuff. This is when you want your bloodline to continue on. This is when somebody looks at you for the first time, they say, you just look like your Uncle George. When I went home for my Uncle Jack's funeral, Mom got out the pictures. And she says, I think you look just like this guy. Happened to be my grandmother's father. The guy had big ears and a big nose, and my mom's saying, you look just like him. But we do that. Why is that important?
We want to know that our genetic makeup has been passed on in some form.
Mm-hmm. But instead of doing it through the previous ways, this way has been done for centuries, that the male child carries all the traits that you want. It's not true, but that's what's been taught.
Traits,
yes. Okay. Somebody want to read? Okay, that's good. What's Paul's problem? Anybody know his former life before he became a Christian?
I was fine until I didn't know it was wrong.
Yeah. Until I noticed it was wrong, I couldn't try keeping it. So what's his problem? I keep getting this wrong. Paul starts out and he says, I want to do what's good. So his mind is, I want to do what the right thing is. That's what I set out for. This morning when I got out of bed, I sat down and I said, okay, Paul, today you're going to do what you should do, and you're going to refrain from doing those things you need to refrain from doing. Now, is it the law's fault that he failed? No. Is it his body's fault that he failed? No. Did he? Got to make this broad statement, then we're going to go look at some things, yes. If you try to fight sin just with your body or just with your mind, you will fail. Now, why can I say that? Because if you tell me, go do the dishes, I would clean the house 4 times before I do dishes. A little bit of rebel in me. We don't like to be told what to do. Oh, that wouldn't bother me because I'm allergic to chocolate and I can't breathe. We're getting there. As it is, it's no longer I myself. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, and if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know nothing good lives in me, that's in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I want to do is not the good, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, it's the evil that I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner to the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Okay.
Verse 20, that's this Cliff Wilson verse.
Yes. It is. He's brought us another subject into this. It's just something, we've been talking about the body all the time, and all of a sudden he throws in the mind. Have you ever wanted to sin and you just say by pure determination, I am not going to do that. I will not do that. I will not do that. I will not do that. I did that. You ever have that kind of battle? That's important. Because if you don't get the mind right, Satan will use the body and the mind's desire and wear you down. Okay? Somebody like to read? Okay, do you see that word right there? Why would God want you to give your bodies as a living sacrifice?
Be careful how you treat it.
Yeah, be careful how you treat it. You moved your hand. Yeah.
I've seen that, you know, that this body, yes, it's been put into my stewardship and my control, but it's not mine. It doesn't truthfully belong to me. It's the Lord's. It must be used in His service.
Right.
You kill your self-control of the body.
Okay.
Okay,
remember all the sins we listed at the body? Paul says the only way you can beat that is to offer your body as a sacrifice to God. It's got to be a God thing if you're not going to sin. So he's taking it out of our hands and saying, listen, I made you, I know what you're capable of. And what I need for you to do is, first, you need to sacrifice your body. Now, we're going to go down a little bit, and we've got this phrase. The phrase is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes both. And look what it says next. After you get the body in line, after you get the mind in line, then you will be able to know what the will of the Lord is. But if you don't take care of both of them, you're not going to know what God wants you to do. So far, so good. Yes, no? Questions? Okay. That's why you get verses like this. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ appears, who is your life, then you will be able to appear with him in glory. And so he gives a whole list of things that if you're going to get it right, these things you got to watch out for. Okay? So if the body starts working on the mind, you're going to sin. If you listen to the body just at all, the mind will sit there and say, don't do that. But we might end up doing it. Paul.
Is this essentially what Paul's saying in Galatians 2:20 when he says, 'Tis not I that live, Christ lives in me. Uh-huh. The life that I now live, I live by faith in him who loved me and gave himself for me.'
Yes, same thing. Good point. Okay, somebody tell me about David. Will it Kirk be David? You're a king. Okay? What's a king like? Somebody tell me what a king was like in the Old Testament.
He could have whatever he wanted.
He could have whatever he wanted. He just had to say the word.
He was rich.
Powerful. Have many wives? Uh-huh. So David's got it all. And David, who should have been off to war, just says, I'm going to send Joab and the men out, and they can battle against the Amorites, and I'm going to stay home. Coming back now. And he stays at home, and he walks on the roof of his palace, which is a little bit higher than the roof of any other palace or house. And he looks over and he sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. Now, sometimes preachers try to blame Bathsheba for this sin. Women took baths on the roof. That's where they went. It was the custom. So Bathsheba's just doing what the custom is. David, on the other hand, he's got up on the roof, and he's sort of hiding in the shadows, watching Bathsheba take her bath. Now, what do you think he's thinking?
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Oh, he does want her. Yeah, he finds out, he sends somebody over and says, who is that lady over there? And they say, well, that's Bathsheba, and her husband is the fiercest fighter in your army. And he's off in battle. We got this. And he sleeps with her. Anybody know what happens next? She comes to David and says, I'm pregnant. And if she's pregnant, he's got a problem. Even though he has many wives, you do not touch another man's wife in the Old Testament. And David has. So he brings Uriah home. What's the first thing he does? Uriah. Yes. He goes to see David to report on the battle and what's happening out there. And then he says, you're here and it's late. Why don't you go on down to your house and stay there for the night? And he won't do it. Not while there are other Jewish men dropping in the soil. So David tries a second ploy.
Plan B.
And plan B is? Getting drunk as a skunk. I mean, where he doesn't remember what has happened, just get him totally blasted. He'll go down to the house. He might not be able, but we'll just say he went down to the house and things had to happen. That's the baby, that Bathsheba. But he does it too well. He doesn't make it back to the house. And he ends up sleeping with David's servants. So what happened with the third? Send Uriah to the front lines. You did not send your fiercest fighters to the front lines. But David does. He looked. His mind didn't stop him. And he did what his body wanted to do. And that's the way we send. We have a desire, and if our minds don't stop us, we're in trouble. But there's another page. And you can come back next week and see that. When, I gotta say this one. This is mine, so. When the body's desire started looking at Bathsheba, had David sinned yet? No. When he gets information about who she is and where she lives and all that kind of stuff, has he sinned yet? When Bathsheba's brought to the castle, King, here's Bathsheba. You wanted to get to know her. Has he sinned yet? He's planned. Yeah, he knows where he's going, but he still hasn't committed the act, so he could offset it, but he doesn't. Yeah, you can be tempted, but David was planning to go with her since he saw her in the bathtub, and he does sin. Any questions?
You said but notice what she does.
Uh-huh.
What is she doing?
Bathsheba?
Yeah.
She's not guilty at all. And by the way, this sin that David commits over in Kings, yeah, Kings, it says David was God's friend except for this one incident. It's a sin with Bathsheba. Anybody know where David's king goes from now? He's been running over everybody, roughshod. What happens next? Down? Yeah, everything falls apart on him. We'll get into that some other time. Thank you for the class and being here. It gets better next.
right? Their thinking. That's what matters.
Yeah. But I appreciate it.
You're welcome.